bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour is presented by our great friends at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And don't forget about the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, Wednesday, August 7th, Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They take great care of your insurance needs and do everything they can to save you money. It's all at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. All right. So, let's now bring in Tuesdays with Neil, with the outstanding, informative, and insightful Neil Coulong. Sir, welcome.
As always, it's great to be here. Happy draft week to you and everyone else out there who celebrates.
All right, so on happy draft week, as you and I know, something starts in the draft and then a run starts because panic, of course, then ensues. I think that's a fair way of putting it. So what has the potential to start a run at a position in your mind when you look at and analyze this?
I don't know if we call it starting a run, but I know certainly ending the run is going to be the Arizona Cardinals, the fourth pick. I don't know how we know who Chicago's taking. I don't know how Washington or New England walks away from two or three selecting a quarterback. And I mean both of those things. They're keeping those picks and they're taking a quarterback. At that point, you have to ask yourself how much does anybody want J.J. McCarthy? And I would say that in itself technically ends a run, but the draft really starts at that point. You know, there's a boatload of talent in other positions outside of the quarterback. And not saying that you know, we're not comparing the two. I just mean that that's a big need for the first three teams in this draft. And it's pretty clear that that's the direction they're going to go in. After that, who really is the number one? And I think, in a way, you could say it's Marvin Harrison Jr. I might argue it's Malik Nabers, to be honest with you. But right there, if you're the Chargers picking next, you've got kind of the run of the board. So can you set up something else? Is it going to be another receiver right after that? I think it would be. That's the direction I would go if I was either Arizona or Los Angeles heading into this draft. So then you're talking about Dunze at that point. Where is he going to go? Is that going to be another receiver? You haven't taken a tackle yet. There's not a cornerback that's been taken yet. An edge rusher we haven't even talked about yet. The real run, I think, starts probably after the pick, just because I think those top five are strategically and competitively well above anybody else. And the way that those five picks are established really kind of sets up everybody else. And I think that in itself can create a bit of the panic, like you called it. You know, Joe Alt is a high-level tackle prospect. Where is he going to end up? Probably, you know, Tennessee at seven is what most people say. Is that when the tackles start? Are we going to see them falling out after that? Would the cornerbacks go after that? I think there's a lot of intrigue at that point. There's probably going to be a trade in the top 10 as well. And really kind of the linchpin of everybody is J.J. McCarthy. Where do you put him? My opinion, I don't think he's worth the fourth pick in the draft. I think he is maybe three or four, to be honest with you, as far as his position goes. But I don't think that's the way it's going to land when they're drafting. But at what point do you need to take him? Are the Broncos all in on Zach Wilson? I that's going to be the case. So are they going to look to grab a quarterback? I think he's more insurance behind a position that they really want to address with their pick. They might be too far down without enough capital to be able to move up to get somebody. So you put all that together, I think any run probably starts after five, in my opinion, whatever position they want to go. And that includes receiver, which I think is going to go four and five. You know, those three quarterbacks and then two receivers, I think, are the first five picks of this draft.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it sounds to me what I think might happen. It's just a guess. But I'm also of the thought process that I would not be surprised if six quarterbacks went in the first round and that their trade. I think there's going to be trades in this first round, and I think there could be six quarterbacks. That's just me throwing a dart, and let's see where it lands.
I think they're throwing a dart as well. That's a perfect analogy for it. You've got quarterbacks with at least some one, two traits. The two at the bottom, maybe even more than that, to be honest with you. I think there are things that certain types of coaches are really going to like about Spencer Rattler. I wouldn't be surprised at all to hear his name called on day two, maybe earlier rather than later. But if you're looking at Penix and Bo Nix, there are they're reasonable red flags between the two of them. But they fit so much of that prototype, what we called jokingly back in the day, the Tom Savage prototype, guys that have certain things that are locked in stone as far as what a team will assess to be valuable with the player. The play isn't as important as the physical build is. You know, they've got that size. Penix at least has he has the arm. I think he's a pretty good deep ball thrower. These things are all incredibly valuable. The reason he's not probably higher, well, two reasons he's not higher is one, he's not the youngest guy in the draft, and two, he's torn his knee 100 times or something like that. Those are problems. And just think of it, the risk that you're taking with a guy like Penix is if he tears his right ACL again, he's out for his entire rookie season. And he's going to be 35 next year. At what point is kind of the law of diminishing returns going to come in to his ceiling? Yeah. How much better can he get? Does that make him kind of a permanent fringe starter type within the NFL? That one injury can knock everything down. And it's not to say that he will or he won't. I read the letter, very compelling. I'm sure from a medical perspective he's fine. And he wants to communicate that out to as many people as he can. But that's a problem overall, and for me, they're really, you know, the best way to describe the problem is one, being that he's older, you have that injury history. You can look at the fifth year club controlled option for a first round draft pick as an asset because then you can buy a year in a sense that it's a lot cheaper than the franchise tag is. And you're not spending as much cash as you would have on an extension. So if you still need to make that decision at that point, you've got club control over him, and he can't go anywhere. There's not really a whole lot that he can do. On the other, is it worth spending that capital on a player that has these question marks? Why not just take him in the second round? Well, I would argue that the teams wanting a quarterback might not be around. They might not be high up enough in the second round to go get him, but three quarterbacks going at the top of round one can help that. You thin out the demand a little bit. Because of that, though, I think your scope gets narrowed quite a bit to the point where I think teams are going to say, these are both 1-2 guys, meaning later first-round guys into the second round. They're not going to meet everything that we want in a first-round pick. But in the absence of anybody else, this is the guy that we would want. This type of player, I think they fit into that bucket fairly well. If you're the Vikings, for example, you can make the argument that they acquired 23 from Houston to see if they can move up a little bit to get a quarterback if they want. If not, they're in a great position to take at value one of the more veteran rookie quarterbacks who are out there. If that's a shot they want to take, they might do that. 23 probably makes more sense for either of those two players. 23 on back is probably more appropriate, but the fact that there would be six in that instance, I think, makes sense. But you get into, six of them, that's 20% of the league. There's a good amount of them already drafted last year into this year. There are only so many spots, and you're not going to spend a first-round pick on a guy that is going to back up whoever you already have. So it's only the teams that really need a quarterback, and three of them are out the door at the first three picks. So in my mind, it almost feels like it's going to be six or it's going to be four. and this goes into what you said earlier about panicking. If one of them goes first, my gut would be Penix would be the first one taken. Mm-hmm. I think somebody has taken Nix pretty quickly after that, and it wouldn't surprise me if it's kind of a light trade in order to get him, just because it's like, okay, only one left. You got a day to think about it. You got a day to make trades. Somebody's coming up after 33 overall to get Bo Nix if they need a quarterback, because that's going to be the best spot for him. So if Penix doesn't go, I think, in other words, I don't think it'll be five. I think it's going to be four or six. Mm-hmm. And neither would really surprise me. And I wouldn't have great faith in either of those last two quarterbacks. And, you know, history shows us we definitely shouldn't have a whole lot of faith in the fifth or sixth quarterback taken in the draft. It's not impossible, but, you know, it teams that don't have a quarterback, they need a quarterback. And you got some things to like between both of them. I'm just not sure they're guys that are going to improve a whole lot over the next amount of time. You'd love to have a guy for 15 years take care of the position for you so you don't have to address it again. But that's a luxury problem that only a few teams have. And that's because of availability. You know, it's not going to be picks or Nix or Penix probably providing that for anybody. Just my opinion now. Come back and show it to me next year if I'm completely wrong and one of them is an MVP heading into October. I mean, weird things have happened.
Yeah. Then there's the case of Marvin Harrison Jr. A lot of people, a lot of scouts are saying neighbors of LSU may now get picked in front of him. We'll see. I mean, it's up to whatever team has a choice. And Adunzie is really good as well, as you pointed out, from Washington. But Harris did something that was really different. He didn't do anything. He did not participate at the combine. He didn't participate in Pro Day. He didn't run a 40. Now, look, it's not as if, you know, Harris is probably high 4.3s, because anybody that, because, I mean, they have these sensors now. He's run 22 miles an hour on the field. You obviously can run. What do you think about that approach by him?
I think it's probably exactly what I would have advised him to do. The only reason he's not in the running for the top pick is, in my opinion, because he's not a quarterback. You need to take that position. Caleb Williams is a fantastic prospect. Caleb Williams has more downside than Marvin Harrison does by a comfortable margin. That's not an insult to Williams at all. It's the difficulty of the position. It's how difficult it is to evaluate it. But I think you can get a pretty strong parallel between a guy playing in college at the wide receiver position compared to what he's going to face at the NFL level. I think they get that fairly well. You know, there are things to like about guys, and you get into defining what a team is going to look at in whatever round. I mean, just you look at the Rams, for example, very excited to take Puka Nacua in the fifth round. But by any account, anyone would have described him as a fourth round or a fifth round pick. It's not because they don't think he's any good. It's just that he doesn't have certain characteristics that would probably put him up a little bit higher than that. Fifth round pick is not a bad thing. It's not an afterthought. It's just a mid-round pick. And if you look at his makeup, he doesn't have, you know, elite level traits. You know, he's a big dude, but he's not outstandingly large. His measurables, his speed isn't anything exceptional. He's a good football player, and you're drafting good football players in the fifth round. Harrison lead at everything, in my opinion. The only possible, somewhat, maybe, you're an idiot if you bring this up, knock, that you could have on him is he's not the biggest guy, but it's not a problem if you watch him play. He doesn't need that to go out and make plays. He had nothing left to prove is really what it comes down to in my mind. I don't think there is a discernible flaw in his game at his age that's not going to get ironed up pretty quickly when he's just focused on this. The team has their coaching around him. He's going to spend a lot of time getting better, watching film probably in a different way. The sky is the limit with him. So in my mind, he's the first non-quarterback who's going to go. But again, I think I'll take Neighbors. And the reason I say that is you get a lot of the same stuff with Neighbors, but Neighbors is—he's a competitor. He's
mean. You know what I think. You know what I think Neighbors can be in the league. I think he'd be Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. He's got the versatility and the quickness. You wouldn't necessarily think. He, like, similar to Harrison, he's not ginormous, but he's not small.
Right.
His size really kind of exemplifies the all-around type of player that he is. But I don't think there's anything he couldn't do as a skilled position player on the field. His athleticism is unreal, but more than anything with him, he's competitive. I think there's a streak in him that may or may not come out in film as much when you're trying to, you know, really isolate and break down his physical ability. He plays the game with an edge, which I think that's a good comparison. You see Debo in a similar vein. You know, he's tough. It's not just because he's got a thicker build as a receiver, but he has the competitive will to take on that role, to take on those extra duties and do the best with it that he can. I think Nabers, over time, I would put Caleb Williams in this group, too. I think this is the best way to describe it. Over the next 3 years, however you want to define really good, 3 years, Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison, and Malik Nabers, which one of them is going to the Pro Bowl first, and which one would go to multiple Pro Bowls?
Right.
In my mind, the way that I line it up, in a lot of ways, I think it's between Nabers and Harrison, but I think Nabers could have the edge over 3 years. You know, I think he's at that level, and I think this might be my own bias because I think he's going to Los Angeles, and I think whichever one goes to Los Angeles is going to have a pretty impressive rookie season, rightfully earned, whereas go to Arizona, I'm not sure that's going to necessarily be the case. But you're looking at three high-end prospects, probably, in my opinion, the three best in this draft, and all of them have very bright futures in playing a multitude of different roles. I think there's not a thing Harrison can't do. I think you could feature your passing game around him. I think you're able to get him 9-plus targets a game as a rookie. I think you could have him returning kicks if you wanted to do that. He has that much ability. I think Arizona goes with him because if you need to come up with a deciding factor, I think they'd probably lean on the bloodline. I think NFL sure. teams are kind of known to do that. They're going to appreciate the fact that they think they can project a good sense of the kind of player he is by looking at his dad, which obviously is unfair, but it's incredible praise considering how good his dad was. I think his son can be even better than that. He's got that kind of ability, but and I think Nabers is my guy. I keep trying to talk myself out of it. But,
it'll
be fun to watch both of them. I'm a receivers guy. I really like the way both of them play.
And Adunzie is really good too, but I mean Harrison.
Yeah, we even get into him. He's a legitimate top 10 pick.
Yep,
he's an afterthought. That's how good the other two are.
Right.
You know, Adunzie doesn't have he's not as well rounded, but dude's a beast over the top. He's an outside the numbers guy. He's competitive with the ball in the air. There's a lot to like about him as well. I think think of it like this: if you're the New York Jets. If you believe Aaron Rodgers can come out and play, you got a real tough problem to decide between a good slot seam running quasi tight end in Brock Bowers and Rome Odunziehe, another deep threat to put around another good all around receiver in Garrett Wilson. They're going to get a lot better offensively if that's the way that the board drops to them. And Odunziehe being the third receiver taken, that high in the draft, that's pretty impressive.
I was asked on another show last week about Olu Fashanu. And, you know, I was talking about him as a pass protector. He didn't give up any hurries, let alone now give up a sack. You know, and I said, look, does he have to be better in the run game? Yeah, he's got to be a better finisher in the run game. You know, I gave him a pretty realistic feel about him as a player. Well, then I was asked this question, that Olu has 8.5-inch hands, and does that affect him in the run game? And I sat there, and it's fine to ask the question. I have no problem with the question. But to me, that was like the ultimate we're overthinking the draft too much question, aren't we?
I would agree. I was trying to come up with a joke in my head. I don't have 8.5-inch hands, and I can't run blocks, so it must be true, right? I mean, there are issues with hand size, you know, right. which is more to say it's not a detriment, but bigger hands means more control on a defender.
Sure.
I don't think at the size that he is, that the feet that he has,
right?
I don't think he's giving up a whole lot. It just might be the deciding factor between him and, say, Alt.
Right.
I can see where that comes up, but I think Fashanu is a fascinating player. There's a lot to really like about him, but it is kind of odd. He doesn't quite have the measurables you think he would have when you watch him play. You know, right. He's got great feet, great balance. He's such a good athlete.
Yes, he is.
There's a lot that you can do with him. And if you're a team that wants to throw the ball, if you're a team that wants to play in quick game, I think he is an asset in the sense that he can get to the second level. Now, you're going to talk about your run blocking up close. There's a difference, you know, getting inside of a guy and driving him like a sled and throwing him into the sideline and being a 6'6", 310-pound wall moving down the field. You know, he doesn't have to engage to be an effective blocker in a quick game scheme. And I think that's the kind of thing that you could use him for. Put him on the left side, make it kind of ambidextrous of where you would go. Otherwise, get him out of space. You know, he can move. That's as much an asset than anything. And if you watch the blockers in that, if they can, you get a chance to pancake a guy, they're going to. But it's still zone. It's a zone concept. They're moving from you know, inside to out. You get him upfield, that wall is there. And the running back is trained to read that block. So really, if he's in the way, he doesn't have to engage in anybody. So in my mind, if you get a team that wants to throw short a lot, use that as an extension of the run game, which is, you know, a lot of teams in the NFL, I think he's valuable. But I don't think I'm downgrading his run blocking ability based on the size of his hands.
I had no problem with the question.
Bend a little bit and drive those hands into guys. That'll probably help more than the actual hand size will. That's just me.
I had no problem with the question, but I sat back and thought, man, are we starting to overthink this or what?
I've never heard that. I'm going to use that with people. I'll feed you the reactions that I get. I'm going to ask somebody that.
Yeah, go ahead. Do that. Because, I mean, that's one thing about my show. Nobody's ever accused me of thinking, let alone overthinking. All right, so, Neil, appreciate you as always, my friend. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. You guys have a good one.
And this half hour has been brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They're the best in the business because they take care of your insurance needs, make sure you're fully covered, and they make sure that they save you money wherever they can. It is all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn what they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.